Blog Talk Radio.
Now, from the world's most famous beach, from where beach racing began, it's the Legends of Racing radio show. Live from Racing's North Turn Beach Bar and Grill in Ponce Inlet, Florida. The Legends of Racing radio show. And your host, Buzz McKim.
Thank you very much, everybody. And welcome to the North Turn Restaurant. I am your humble servant, Buzz, as the guy just said. We're going to have a ball today. I've been waiting a long time for this. We started our comedy routine a couple of years ago with the Living Legends Banquet, right? I had no idea.
Yeah, it was a big turnout. It's nice to be here now.
Oh, yeah.
It's so different.
Yeah. This guy, if you're from around the Pennsylvania area, you'll absolutely know the name. He was the big dog out in Western Pennsylvania for years. And then went up into the Cup Series for a while back in the 70s. This is Joe Mihalik. How about a big round of applause for Joe?
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
It's so nice to be here. Usually when I'm down here in Florida to see the races, I usually standing around the road watching the races.
It's different
from up here.
Oh. Now, did you come down for some of the beach races?
I was here almost from the very beginning.
Really?
I was a skater. Well, mm-hmm. I was running dirt at home, mm-hmm. but I had the urge to come down here in 1951.
Is that right?
I ran in NASCAR. I think I joined in 1950.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 49 or 50. Mm-hmm. And in 51, I wanted to come down to race and stay here. I didn't want to go back home, but yeah. I had to. I had to make a living. So I've been waiting for a good many years to get down here, and we made arrangements with local track owner up north, and I got a local ride there for a while, but I'm here now, so I'm all yours.
Oh, okay, great. So after all those years, you started here. Now you're back here at the site of the North Turn. That's pretty amazing. I really had no idea that you were here as a spectator back in those early days.
Yes, I didn't have a car to drive then.
Right.
You know, we were running the sportsman cars. Mm-hmm. I ran with Dick Linder.
Mm. Yeah.
Mike Klapeck.
Oh, boy.
Mike Little. Mm-hmm. Quite a few of those fellas.
Yeah, Buddy O'Connor.
I can't remember the name. Yep. I can't remember most of their names anymore. But,
right.
You know, I had a bad 2 years trying to get well. Mm. So I have a hard time remembering things. But I'll get there.
Oh, yeah.
First thing you have to do is learn how to walk.
Oh, yeah. But that you got that down pretty good, don't you?
Yeah, it was a slipping and falling. I'm all banged up.
Jeez. But you're really kind of a walking medical miracle at this point, aren't you?
Well, yeah. Yes, I was. I had a good doctor, though. My doctor, he cut me to pieces and put me back together.
Mm-hmm.
And he learned how to do that. It was a lieutenant colonel, and he was in Iraq.
Oh, man.
And now he's over there at Shands Hospital in Gainesville.
Right.
And he still follows me wherever I go. I have some doctors down here now,
mm-hmm.
and Dr. Sutton from the Halifax Hospital, I'll get there.
Oh yeah. Well, now you got a birthday coming up in November. Do you mind telling us how old you're going to be?
We're going to be 92.
Holy cow. Fantastic. I'll tell you, and you are such an eyewitness to history, such a participant in history. And, you know, thank God for medical science, and you're still with us, and you can share your stories and tell about your life, and we're just so tickled to death to have you with us today.
Well, you know, you're not as happy as I am.
When I tell you about this guy, huh? Yeah. Well, no, you were never tore up too bad on a race car, were you?
Well, not too bad. I had a broken back.
Oh, Lord.
And I sat there laid in the hospital for, it was 2 weeks long.
Mm-hmm.
And they put me in a body cast. And when they released me from the hospital, I took up skiing.
Really?
I think that helped me a little more.
Okay. Yeah, you couldn't take up something nice like checkers or something. You could take up skiing.
No. We had parties in the hospital. You know, they had me in a bed that was feet were higher than my head.
Uh-huh.
And they had weights pulling on my feet constantly and a rope around my neck.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, pulling the other direction.
Uh-huh.
And they had a very restricted visiting hour.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine used to bring, do you know what a screwdriver is?
Not the kind you.
It's a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have a mother that loves screwdrivers.
Yeah, he used to have a jug full of screwdrivers to the hospital. And,
oh, my.
And all of my friends gathered around the bed. And then when the time came to leave, and the nurse said it was all right to stay over.
Uh-huh.
So no one had to leave. That's because my friends were feeding her screwdrivers, too.
Now, was this back in the 50s or the 60s? When was that?
This was back in the fall. It was in the 60s.
Okay. Yeah. Now, when you got started, cars were kind of rudimentary. I guess you could almost call them primitive, could you? There wasn't a whole lot of safety factors, huh?
Oh, no. God. My first car, I built it myself. I bought a $2 book on how to build race cars. It came out of California, and I studied that. And my study room was in the bathroom.
That's where I do my best work, too.
But that's where I learned most about building a race car and how to bore and relieve the block and so forth. I towed the car that I built, 1939 Ford Coupe,
mm-hmm.
right out of the junkyard with my dump truck.
Really?
Yes, I did. I had a story about the dump truck before,
uh-huh.
and it was a special truck for me because I could raise the bed on it, and I hooked the chain onto the highest part on the tailgate,
mm-hmm.
and I dropped the bed down, and then that would raise the front end of the 39 Ford Coupe to where I could tow it like a tow truck. And I brought it home and I worked on it in a garage. I'm a farm boy to begin with.
Right.
And so we had a makeshift garage with a dirt floor.
Oh.
Only one part of it was concrete. Of course, that's where I parked the dump truck.
Yeah.
And the race car stayed on the dirt section. with me underneath it. A lot of nights I fell asleep right underneath it.
Oh, geez. So you towed it with the dump truck, yeah?
I towed the dump truck, yeah.
Well, now, I guess the tracks, too, were pretty primitive also, weren't they? Probably not much more than just a dugout field.
Well, yeah. I had a track that was built at my parents, near my parents' farm, Claridge Racetrack. And the fellows from the American Legion knew I was into racing those stock cars, asked me to come down and lay it out. They wanted to build a racetrack, and mm-hmm. they wanted me to lay it out. Well, I didn't know anything about building racetracks,
mm-hmm.
and I was just learning how to build a race car. And I thought, well, okay, I'll come down. I had my car, it was just finished up. I had all lettered, and I had a whole group of people waiting down there to see what I was going to do, and I simulated that I was driving on a racetrack, and I just floored it, went through the turns. It was a grass field, and I think I made about two or three laps, and I hit a rut, and I rolled it.
Oh, jeez. Really?
And I didn't even get on a racetrack yet. But I laid on its side, and I wouldn't get out of it. I just asked the men there, just lift it up and put it back on the wheels. And away I went again, finished up. And it turned into the Claridge Racetrack.
Is that right?
And they held local races there every week.
Son of a gun. What was that, about a quarter mile of dirt?
It was a quarter mile dirt. Yeah, a rough quarter mile dirt.
Yeah. My gosh. And it would, I guess not too many folks knew how to build a racetrack back then, huh?
Oh, no. Yeah.
There wasn't too many books that you could read while you're sitting on the john, right? For building racetracks.
No, I wore that one book out. It was just a little thing.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just wish I had that as a...
Yeah.
I'll put it in my library.
Let's see. Now, your son, Trent, told me you were Croatian. Is
yes.
that right?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I was Croatian.
Yep.
I couldn't, I couldn't speak the English language until I was 4 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be darned. So if you're Eastern European and then you're living in Western Pennsylvania, were there any coal miners in your family?
Oh, it was loaded with coal miners.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't have much help building the car. I mostly did it myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when did you know that you really, really were going to do this for a living? Was there one day when you said, hey, I think I'm about as good as anybody else. I think I'll take this on.
Well, I drove for... Lou Viglione,
mm-hmm.
and at that time we ran the short tracks, and I had late model cars we were running, and we had are we all right?
Oh yeah, we're okay. We're not being invaded. That's okay.
And he built the. Asked me if I would want to run Daytona sometime, and I said, I sure will. And so we went to the track out at the Speedway, the Daytona Speedway,
mm-hmm.
and what a thrill that was, you know. And I running into through that tunnel, and I'm looking. That's the first time I saw it from the inside, but. It was, that's the biggest thrill in my life, that first time I came down.
Yeah. Yeah, and you had never seen anything probably bigger than a half mile, right, up to that point?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I ran Langhorn.
Oh, did you?
Okay. I ran Langhorn, I think it was 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We only ran once a year up there.
Right.
And it was by invitation only.
Yeah. Now that I can't even imagine running a Langhorne because it was flat. It was perfectly circular. And, I mean, you were just in a broadside all the way around, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. You just hold the steering wheel in one position.
Yeah.
You never had to turn the wheel.
It was dangerous. I
went up there with my late model, and this is with the modified. And I couldn't qualify the car. I couldn't steer it. The steering was so hard. Mm. That I just couldn't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy I was driving that modified for, him and his friends worked on it all night long. They rebushed it, and I don't know what all they did. They freed it up a little bit so I could at least turn the steering wheel. But I didn't get a chance to qualify the car the day before the race. So I had to run the tail end of the Concy the day of the main race. And I had to start on the complete tail end. And only the winner would get to start the race the following day there.
Mm-hmm.
So I won the Concy.
Whoa, no kidding.
And so I had to start on the tail end of the main race.
Right.
And I stuck it out, and I passed everybody except one car.
Yeah.
And I come up behind them, and I had 20 laps to go. And I thought, well, I don't think I'm going to chance it because I'm starting to wear out with that car.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a second. It's time to take a commercial break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. Go ahead.
The caution flag is out. Time for a break. We'll be right back with the Legends of Racing radio show. Welcome to Homewood Suites by Hilton in Daytona Beach. You're right in the middle of all the action. Daytona International Speedway, the airport, One Daytona, Florida's newest entertainment and retail destination, and of course, the world's most famous beach. You'll love our newly remodeled 1 and 2 bedroom suites, along with our popular King Studios. You won't need your full kitchen, as Homewood Suites Daytona serves up complimentary breakfast and evening social. It's like home away from home. Go to homewooddaytona.com for Homewood Suites by Hilton in Daytona Beach. We're back from where it all began. Racing's original North Turn Beach Bar and Grill. The Legends of Racing radio show continues with your host, Buzz McKim.
Thank you, everybody. We're here with Joe Mihalik. Now, he was a big fish in a little pond, and then he decided to go to cup racing, and then he became a little fish in a big pond. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But you were just about ready to tell us how it went at Langhorne that day for you.
Yes, I came up behind the only car I didn't pass. And that happened to be Frankie Snyder.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we love Frankie.
So I decided, well, I backed off. I knew I could pass him, but I didn't want to wear myself out. And if he got into a battle with me, I didn't think I could last. So I think right after I backed off, my engine blew.
Oh, man.
So it was 20 laps to go. So
son of a gun.
The Concy was 20 laps long. I figure, well, if I wouldn't have had to run the Concy, I'd had enough to beat him.
Yeah. Oh, man. Do we have a caller on the line? Hello there. Who is this?
Well,
hello.
Is this?
Well, let me double check here. They tried this on me once before, and I got it wrong. This is Buzz. Is this Buddy Parrott?
That's exactly right.
Hot
you
dog.
Win the
How
prize
about that?
Today, Buzz.
Championship crew chief Buddy Parrott. Awesome.
You win the prize.
Oh, great. What do I win?
Yeah. I'll tell you when I come to Daytona, okay?
I'll settle for your admiration. How's that? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You know. All right. Hey, you. What
Let
are you
me
doing
ask
these
you.
Days?
I got a question. I got a question for you.
Okay.
When I called in, somebody answered the phone. What part of South Carolina is that guy from?
Oh, I don't think he's from South Carolina. I don't believe. He sounded like he wasn't from these parts.
Yeah. I said, boy, that guy's not around here.
So what you doing these days? You're all retired and riding your motorcycle all over the place, right?
Well, I'll tell you what. I got, I should say this. Wait a minute.
This is a family show.
I'll think of it anyway. It was something okay. about having your motorcycle parked, okay? Post-motorcycle, PMS, post-motorcycle, park motorcycle syndrome.
Oh, is that right? What, you got your bike in the shop?
No. Well, I've got one of them. I got the one that stays in the hospital all the time, the one that, that's got the turbocharger on it.
Oh, wow. Holy cow. Yeah, folks with motorcycles with turbochargers, I think they call them organ donors. Isn't that right?
That was something like that, yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway. Hey, you have worked with some of the absolute best, Rusty Wallace and Buddy Baker and Bobby Isaac. I mean, the list just goes on. And you just had a phenomenal career. And how did that all come about?
How did it come about? Well, there's I'm getting a reverberation down there, so every time I speak, I hear myself talking. Okay.
Oh, sorry
all right.
about that.
Here's the deal. I worked for a glass company for one out of high school, and I moved to Salisbury, North Carolina, and there was a company up there called Huggins Tire Center.
Oh yeah, Ross Huggins. Sure enough.
Ross Huggins, and so my neighbor worked there, and he invited me to go be a helper for a weekend. And so I went down to Birmingham, Alabama, and worked that race. And when I got back on Monday, the guy called me and told me, he says, Ross wants to talk to you. I said, what does he want to talk about? He says, he wants to offer you a job. I said, man, I said, well, I don't know that much about what's going on up there. He said, well, no, he don't care about that. He just likes the way you party.
Oh, that's funny. And the rest is history, right?
That's how I got started. And
oh,
then,
my
gosh. I mounted tires, and I had some particular people that I worked with, and one of the guys was named Harry Hyde. And
oh,
so
gosh,
when I decided to get work on a race car or whatever, I called Harry and asked him for a job. And he told me to go over there and go to work.
Mm-hmm.
He was in California. So, and like I said, I stayed there 5 years, and so but the rest of it is history, you know.
Wow. I heard a great story about why those K&K cars had a number 71 on it. Could you tell that story?
Well, you know what? I don't know. I don't know that story. Maybe I mm-hmm. should hear it. Is it a good
well,
story?
Here it comes. Well, the story goes that when Nord Kroskoff, who owned K&K Insurance, went ahead and put his team together, he said that team would win the NASCAR championship by 1971. So he put a 71 on the car, and that would keep you guys inspired to get that goal in 71. But, hey, you guys beat it, and you won the championship in 1970, a year before. So that's a pretty good deal. You guys were awesome that year, and you couldn't get a better combination with you and Raymond Fox Jr., and Isaac was such an incredible driver, and Harry Hyde. Man, I was sure glad to see Bobby get the Hall of Fame because I thought he was very underappreciated all those years.
Well, Bobby was a great race car driver and a good guy. He was very misunderstood. He and David Pearson were two of a kind. Pearson was a lot more outgoing than Bobby was, but they had a friendship that a lot of people don't know about. And matter of fact, when Bobby had to have a relief driver, he's going to have a relief driver in Dover one time. He got Pearson to come up and stand in for him. You know.
Hmm. I'll be doing.
So, but anyway, that goes back a long way, man.
Yeah. Well, what we need to do is when you get back down here to Daytona, we got to put you here in the hot seat and give you a whole hour to tell your story. We'd be sure honored to have you sit in with us. Would you consider that?
No, I won't.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. All right, no free lunch for you. That's all I got to say.
No, the reason is I can't tell my stories in an hour.
Well, we'll put a big filter up right in front of you, okay? And the words will go through, okay. And they'll be filtered out, and it'll be just fine, okay?
No, that's not what I think. Oh, I'm saying, though, I've got a lot more to talk about than it is. It would take more than an hour.
Oh, well, we'll give you 2 hours, and we'll make it into two shows. How's that?
Okay, whatever. Hey, bud.
Yeah, buddy.
I know one thing. Let me just say this about you, okay? If it can be worked out, I know it can be done. I want to tell you while I got you on the radio here that I really appreciate, and I know Charlotte appreciates, everything that you did to help get the Hall of Fame started and what it is today. Okay?
Man, that means the world to me. Thank you so much. And you're one of my heroes, and to have that kind of stuff coming from me, I'm just tickled to death. I hope my wife sees me in a different light now, you know?
she will. And by the way,
yeah.
You definitely come from good stock, because I think the world of your mother.
Well, thank you so much. She's sitting right here and just grinning like crazy, you know? So she'll got a big smooch for you when she sees you next time, okay?
Okay, that's great. I look forward to her calling me. I look forward to her calling me and inviting me to those little luncheons, the lunch bunch, I think you
are. Well, she'll keep you on the list. How's that?
That's good. I always like to be on the list, good, bad, or indifferent.
Okay. Hey, how about a round of applause for Buddy Parrott, crew chief extraordinaire. Thank you so much, buddy. We'll see you soon.
You're quite welcome. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All righty. Wow, I didn't even have to pay him for that. Holy cow, that was something. How about that stuff? Dang. So, yep. Hey, Dave, do you have just a second? We need you to come ask Joe a question, and I don't think we're going to be able to answer it until after the break, but if you'd come up here and ask him that question that you had written down.
Say a few words first.
Absolutely.
Auto racing news, and from Western Pennsylvania. I've known Joe since 1968. I met him at a track home for the Heidelberg Raceway, and he was an outstanding driver. The guy is a legend to this day.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir.
And of course, I had to ask Joe, you once thought in Heidelberg, one time you won a race on Reedville, so I say 1963. Could you tell us about that?
And as soon as we get done with our break, we're going to have the whole inside story on that deal. Isn't that something? And they didn't even think about black flagging you, did they, Joe?
I don't know if they were thinking about it, but they tried to black flag me after it was over.
Okay, we're going to take a break for a commercial message, and we'll be right back here for a word.
The caution flag is out. Time for a break. We'll be right back with the Legends of Racing radio show. Racing's original North Turn is our broadcast headquarters. If you're looking for a good drink, great entertainment, and the best in food, they're right on the beach at Racing's Original North Turn. Rhonda and Walt invite you to come on down to dinner tonight. Here are a couple of testimonials. These are actual testimonials from people who have enjoyed the North Turn. Been there many times, always great food and drinks, great location on the beach.
and another. What a great experience. It's my new favorite restaurant in the Daytona Beach area, Racing's Original North Turn on South Atlantic Avenue. That's A1A in Ponce Inlet, about 3.2 miles south of the Dunlawton Bridge and A1A intersection. It's Racing's Original North Turn, a restaurant, museum, bar, gift shop, live music. That's Racing's North Turn. Racing's North Turn has been voted by you top 10 beach bar 7 years in a row. Next year, they're going for top five. We're back from where it all began. Racing's Original North Turn Beach Bar and Grill. The Legends of Racing radio show continues with your host, Buzz McKim.
Thank you, everybody. And our special guest, Joe Mihalik. And now Dave just attested to the fact that you are a living legend. He said so. You know, so that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, so we got a quick break here for the crass commercialization of Buzz McKim Racing Art. If you see this painting here behind me, that's not a race car driver. That's Richard Boone, the actor. And I painted that back when I was about 20 years old. And one of those deals where I saw a little bitty picture in TV Guide. So I said, God darn, that guy's got such an ugly face. I got to put it on canvas. So I sat down and finished it in one day. And I sent a slide of it to Norman Rockwell one year for Norman's birthday and told him how much he had inspired me. And he wrote me a letter back. I thought, that's pretty darn good. So he was a rough, tough old character. He used to live up in St. Augustine, and he used to drink ever so much. anyway, he knew of the painting, but he never did get to see it. But I was pretty happy with the way it turned out. And now it's hung in the famous Alma McKim gallery in her apartment. So anyway, if you check out Buzz McKim Racing Art, you'll see some other things there. But anyway, 1963, the Tri-State Championship 150, biggest race of the year, lap 94, you're leading the field by four laps. What happens?
Well, that was weird. What happened was, I thought I had a flat tire, and it turned out a little bit worse than that.
Oh, really?
The wheel went flying off the car altogether, through a fence, down over a bank, through a paying customer's windshield.
Oh, no.
And I thought, well, okay, I'm going to make a lap or two, and my pit crew of two people we'll get another wheel ready and put it on.
Right.
Well, in two laps, I found out I could drive this thing without a wheel. And little did I know, I tried to slow down, though, to go into the pits, and I had no brakes at all. Mm. So I figured, well, okay, I got more than that lost wheel problem. Here the whole spindle snapped on right at the inner bearing.
Jeez.
And it was gone. I had no brakes, and the only thing that was holding the suspension together was the upright part of the spindle. And when I wanted to slow down a little bit, I dropped the front down. I was able to hold it up through the turns, and I ran the turns better than I did the straightaways or going through traffic. Because when I slowed down a little bit, that lower control arm would dig into the dirt, and it bounced like I was on a bucking bronco. And I was afraid something else was going to break off. But the track was really hard and slick. So everybody else had to slow down. I had to speed up. Yeah. Ended up, I was the winner 8 laps ahead of the second place car. After it was over with, they tried to disqualify me. I don't know who it was. I'm not sure. I have a funny feeling, but it might have been the guy that finished second.
Yeah. But, you think?
And the rule was you had to start the race with four-wheel brakes.
Uh-huh.
And I lost them half more, 94th laps. I had no brakes. So that's what they wanted to do, disqualify me. Well, they held the win. And I was so glad of that anyway.
Oh, man. But they never did say that you had to finish the race with four-wheel brakes, right?
No, they didn't say I had to finish it at all. No.
Yeah. Now, see, that's the way Smokey would have looked at the rules.
Yeah. But, speaking of dirt tracks, you know, I drove for some other fellas up there with some brothers, and they stuck together pretty good on anything that happened on the track while he followed over into the pit area.
Mm-hmm.
And ran into the dirt track. I think it was their final race of the year or something like that. But anyhow, they had a lot of cars there, and there was one particular driver that was causing about three or four wrecks, and everybody was getting wiped out by this one car. And the last one they wiped out was me.
Oh, that's
so
not good.
My car owners were patching up the car in a pit so they could load it up, because it wasn't able, they couldn't even push it around. So they were working on trying to get it loaded up. I was changing my clothes. Next thing you know, here comes the fellow that was causing all the wrecks. Here he comes on the tow truck, past us, down to his pit stall on the tow truck hook. And the fellas that were working on my car, the two brothers, they just calmly laid down their tools and walked down behind the car being towed in. I didn't go anywhere. I stayed there and watched everything. I had a funny feeling something was going to happen. Well, they got down to that car, and they got to the driver. He was sitting in this car, and one thing it was led to another. I don't know what words they were saying, because I wasn't near them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned out that they drug him out of the car, and instead of the man running away from him, he took a swing at him, and that's all he had to do. Yeah. Next thing you know, the one guy, they were two husky fellas that I drove for. They wouldn't take any crap from anybody. But the one of them had the driver headlocked under his arm, and he was punching him with his other arm. And next thing you know, official come over. I think he was a security guard, and was going to, instead of dropping the fellas that he was holding, my driver or owner, instead of him stopping, he just asked the security guard, "What are you going to do?" And he says nothing. So he turned around, walked away. But Nick, the driver's head was starting to turn blue. He had him under his arm. And someone was, from what I heard, someone was yelling, "He's turning blue. Let him go." You know? They tossed him out. A couple of days later, I got a letter in the mail that I was disqualified and never come back to the track. And it was from the owner of the track. So I called him up. I said, why are you disqualifying me? I didn't do anything. I, I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't even near it. Well, you were the driver of the car. So, anyhow, I was disqualified. I didn't care.
Guilty by association, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to take a real quick break here. Another break from our commercial or our sponsors. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
The caution flag is out. Time for a break. We'll be right back with the Legends of Racing Radio Show. At Beach Boys Embroidery and Tees, it's all about making you happy. Beach Boys Embroidery can customize your athletic golf apparel, caps, hats, badges, buttons, magnets, backpacks, bags, totes, clocks, watches, oh, and of course, T-shirts. Sure, they're at 2033 South Ridgewood Avenue in South Daytona, and they're waiting for you to call now, 386-255-5880. Beach Boys Embroidery and Tees. We're back from where it all began. Racing's original North Turn Beach Bar and Grill. The Legends of Racing Radio Show continues with your host, Buzz McKim.
Thank you, folks. Thank you so much. Back here at the North Turn with Joe Mihalik, race driver and storyteller extraordinaire. And, I'm thinking of it. keep in mind that our sponsors, Homewood Suites by Hilton over on Bill France, Racing's North Turn, you're here, and Beach Boys Embroideries and Tees, they do our fantastic shirts, and the Janet Hale Foundation, we'll be hearing from them in just a few minutes, but keep those sponsors in mind because they're keeping us going, and we really appreciate it. You had another little tale for us, didn't you, Joe?
Yeah, getting back to the dirt track racing. Back in the old days, we had a lot of dirt tracks, and when I heard about Junior Johnson and his escapades, I sort of took a liking to him because my dad was in the same business.
Oh, I didn't know that. Chicken business?
No.
No?
No, moonshine.
Oh, geez.
we lived on a farm, a 100-acre farm. And I was a little farm boy, so I can't remember how old I was exactly, but my parents used to make moonshine in the cellar of our farmhouse, and that's how they made a living. That was during the Depression years, so I think I was just such a little fella, probably, but 6 years old, something like that, because when I stood in the back seat of this Hupmobile, 1926 Hupmobile. That was our delivery car, and I didn't ride in the front seat. I stood up behind my father and hung on.
That could be dangerous.
So,
right?
Yeah.
Of course, Holy Moonshine could be too, right?
Yeah. And would deliver moonshine, but we also had milk. We delivered milk customers on the same run. And I would run the milk route. I would run it up to the customers. We'd go into town. The town we used to go to is about 14 miles away. And I would deliver milk to the people's homes, and my father would deliver the moonshine to wherever his stops were. We come through this town one day, and at a red light, traffic light, we had to stop at. And I'm standing in the back seat, and here's a fella in a, looked like an expensive suit, was standing on the corner on the sidewalk. He stepped down and came over to me and my dad and our Hupmobile, and he pulled out a revolver.
Oh, jeez.
And all I could remember was him saying to my dad, "Get out of town and don't you ever come back."
Wow.
And I remembered it long enough to tell these stories about it. But he never took me. My dad never took me on the runs before. After that, that was the end of my runs.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of PO'd milk customers.
What about the moonshine customers? They were probably mad too, weren't they?
Well, I don't know, but probably, you know, in those days.
Yeah.
But we finally got raided at the farmhouse. I remember that incident when the state police pulled up in front of the farmhouse, and the part I remember most was us standing in the driveway looking at the truck pulling out, the state body truck loaded up with steel and all kind of sugar and whatever they used to make that. But as they pulled out of the driveway, my mother and I and my two sisters were standing there watching them pull out, and a state trooper was on the back of the truck, and as he pulled out, he kicked off a 100-pound bag of sugar. I think it was about 100 pounds. It was a big bag.
Mm-hmm.
He just kicked it off. I guess we got to his heart a little bit, you know.
So your dad wasn't drug off to the pokey, was he?
Oh, yeah. They took him away.
Did they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they took him away, but he was back the next day.
Mm-hmm.
One of his customers had a speakeasy. And he bailed them out.
Yeah, it's nice to have friends.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you about this guy. When he went to the Cup Series, his very first start was the Daytona 500. I mean, he didn't work his way up through the short tracks or any of that sort of thing. I mean, he started out on top. NASCAR really didn't push that too much. Now you have to start on the short tracks and intermediates and all that sort of thing and prove yourself. But, you know, his reputation was such that he did not have to prove himself. So very few people ever started their careers in Cup with the Daytona 500. And then the best finish you had, Joe drove between 74 and 78, and the best finish you had was probably at what I think is the toughest track on the circuit at Bristol. You got a seventh at Bristol.
Yeah,
that must have been kind of tough, wasn't it?
That was my first time there. I never saw the track before.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Bill Gasaway was one of my favorite people at that time.
Uh-huh. He was an inspector.
We were pulling in. I decided to buy my own race car. See, I always complained about the car that it didn't have much power. And I got food poisoning in Rockingham and wasn't able to drive the car. So they told me to go back to the motel and they'll call for me when they needed me. So when I got back to the track, Bobby Allison was in a car. And I just happened to be there when Bobby pulled in with the car. He was testing it and walked up to the window. And Bobby says, "It seems to handle all right, but it ain't got much power." So I was complaining about power all the time to my owner that it just don't have the horsepower. And I was so glad to hear that. And so Waddell Wilson was working for Moody.
Mm-hmm.
He built an engine for me. And I took it to Atlanta and qualified 10th. Fastest without
wow.
a lap. I was there by myself,
uh-huh.
me in the car, and I had no help. And I qualified 10th fastest with no practice at all. But the reason I mentioned Gasaway, when I took the car to before I had a good engine, and it's that I bought my own car because
mm-hmm.
I blew the one that Waddell built. I ran it too many races and it blew it up. So.
Oh, yeah.
So then I went up and bought my own.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to have to come right back to that in just a second. It's time for another break from our little word from our sponsors, please.
The caution flag is out. Time for a break. We'll be right back with the Legends of Racing radio show. Welcome to the Janet Hale Foundation website. With this website, we hope to broaden our reach to find someone like you to help us on our journey. Janet's journey started 40 years ago to ensure that all children had a toy under the tree at Christmas. Today, thousands of toys and clothing are donated for underprivileged kids. We need your help to continue our journey. Tour this website and find the Donate Now button. A small gesture can make a big difference in a young life. We need your help. Visit us on Facebook, Janet Hale Foundation, or call 386-256-0752. We're back from where it all began. Racing's original North Turn Beach Bar and Grill. The Legends of Racing radio show continues with your host, Buzz McKim.
Thank you, everybody. Broadcasting from the North Turn Restaurant in beautiful Ponce Inlet, Florida, we have with us Joe Mihalik. And, you know, there's so much to your career and your life. There's no way we can put it in 1 hour. Like the brothers, your owners, you could do a whole show just on them, from what I remember about them. And how many times did you lose your car while going to the racetrack? That's a show all unto itself. So we got to think about, would you consider coming back and doing another hour someday?
Sure.
All right. Yeah. What do you think?
Sure.
Another year, another hour for Joe? That'd be fantastic. Right. So we'll have our people call your people, okay? How's that?
Good.
All right. Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah, by the way, don't forget the Janet Hale Foundation. Fantastic charity. You know, they do so much for kids. And your heart will swell when you deal with those folks. Yeah, so you were getting ready to talk about getting another engine for your car, right?
Well, I bought a whole car.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and the Gasaway was going to help you out. Is that right?
No, that was a Gasaway was. See, I only had my two sons.
Yeah.
With me,
okay.
They were my pit crew. One was 13. One was 15.
Oh my gosh.
And we were trying to get into the pit. Michigan.
Right.
And Oscar was there at the gate,
mm-hmm.
where you sign in,
right.
for the garage. And my younger son, he was a little fella, and he had no trouble with the 15-year-old getting in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
But he, when it had come up to my younger son, Oscar says, "Hey, boy, how old are you?" And Gasaway was standing right behind Oscar talking to somebody. And I thought, I'm going to get thrown out of here.
Right.
But instead, I bent over and whispered to Oscar. I said, "Oscar, he's so self-conscious of his size." Oscar says, "Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead."
Yeah, and it worked.
It worked. Gasaway never heard it.
But, you know, there was another time there. I read a little story about you. It was amazing. Here you were a single father raising two kids, right?
Yeah.
So you had to raise them. And I heard about how, you know, you would have to cook dinner and then you'd go back downstairs and work on the race car and keep checking the dinner. And that must have been a well of a deal, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I had I had the garage first. And then when we got divorced, I got my two sons. And they were 6 and 8 at that time. And I had... in the meantime, before I got them, I built my own apartment on top of my garage. And I see a lot of places like that down here now. They're, people own garages and they live upstairs. And I did that. I had a fellow that owed me a lot of money that for repairs on his truck, and so he was in that business. He put me up an apartment, a nice large apartment too. And I'd be cooking dinner for my boys and working on cars. I just had to run up downstairs and take care of my customers and back up and down the four stairs out.
Yeah, going back and forth. But they grew up to be pretty good kids, though.
Yeah. Well, I think so.
Yeah, I would say so. And they had a heck of a childhood, didn't they?
One of them lives right next door to me now. He bought a house next door to me here.
Well, that's convenient. Yeah. Does he come over and cook you dinner sometimes?
Hell no. Oh,
such an ingrate. Oh, my gosh, that's terrible. Well, this has been an absolute joy, and we have to do it again. And that transition, there's so much more we can talk about, the transition from going from local to national and the folks that helped you and the realization of getting a car like a Bobby Allison car and all that sort of thing. We could go on forever, it seems. So we got a lot more to talk about, don't we?
Sure, Dave. And I'll be glad to come back.
Boy, that would be fantastic. Well, we got a few folks we have to say thank you to. We have Shane the Volt, and we have Dave the intern. And let's see, we've got old Flash back there, Bill, our photographer, and Betty Crocker, our cake baker, and there's a little goodie back there, and I hope you save me a piece. And, of course, we have Walt, who's on vacation with his wife, Rhonda. That's Rhodey and the assistant or a field director. I won't even talk about me. There's enough about that. Of course, my beloved bride of 36 years, the Buzz Boss. Yes. Yeah. She's the one that keeps it all going. And, there's Richmond. He's the ops man. And then we have the spiritual leader and grand poobah, Mike Moultain. Yeah, so how about that? And somehow we make this all work, don't we? Yeah. But we couldn't do it without you guys. Huh? Well, I do what I can, you know. But you guys really, really make it nice. And we have so many folks that are continually coming back. You know, some of our former guests, you know, Studebaker Bob. And we've got Bill back there, the Flash. He liked it so much that he joined the company. And then we've got Don Bach, extraordinaire over here, Lensman. And Ralph Johnson, who was our guest last week, the smoky co-conspirator. So these folks just can't get enough of us. How about that? So I hope that you folks out there, too, feel the same way and that you'll continue to check in every week and see what we have going on. We have couple really very interesting and unusual things coming up in the next few weeks. So keep an eye on the webpage, and you know, you can catch us on Facebook, on the Legends of Racing radio show Facebook page, and also the Blog Talk Radio Legends of Racing radio page, and also our website, which is known as Legends of Racing radio show. I think I seem to see a pattern here. Well, is there anything else there, Poobah, that we should cover today? Okay. I have a minute to kill. How many times did you lose the car off the trailer, Joe?
About four or five times.
Okay. Well, that's for part two. And if anybody has ever been a racer, you know how it can be to lose your car off the trailer. And I think everybody has probably experienced that. But you experienced it on two levels. Local and national, right?
Exactly. Yeah,
super duper. Well, we'll be back next week, noontime, right here at the North Turn Restaurant with the same cast of usual suspects at the Legends of Racing radio show. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you very much, Joe Mihalik.
The Legends of Racing radio show originates live from the very spot where beach racing began, racing's North Turn Beach Bar and Grill. Join us next time for the Legends of Racing radio show with Buzz McKim.